Let's get it. Welcome back. Or good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you are, if you're just joining us. I am Jim Rome. You're in the jungle. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We start the second hour. We are efforting Ross Tucker. I'll run him down momentarily. Coming up in hour number three, a safety with the Atlanta Falcons, Keanu Neal. In the meantime, 1-800-636-8686. Had a slight controversy in hour number one when somebody from Wisconsin called and said, "Hey, Rome, I know you're coming. Be alert. Be aware. Be wary. It's 75 degrees. I'm like, oh, no, not that. Not that. And then the entire state got on the phone lines to say that's not what he said. He said 75 is the dew point, not the temperature. Consider myself informed. Now I know. My bad. I apologize. As promised, we're joined right now by somebody who played 7 years in the NFL. He is an NFL analyst. He is host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. He is a friend of the program. He is appearing courtesy of My Front Page Story. It's a great product. You know all about it. We are joined once again by Ross Tucker. My man, Ross, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me.
Always good to have you. Ross, let me start with Cam Newton. What did you make of the deal that the Pats did with Cam Newton? And then secondarily, Ross, if he's healthy and his foot and shoulder check out, what could that mean for the Pats?
Well, so first of all, it's a no-brainer, right? I mean, anybody that does any type of business or investments or whatever, there's no risk, Jim. None. And the reward is significant. So I'm actually surprised other teams didn't try to do it. But you do this 100 out of 100 times if you're the Patriots, because what's the worst case scenario? He's not fully healthy and you go with Stidham or Hoyer? Well, that's what you're going to do anyway. So it makes absolute perfect sense. I think like everybody, I hope he's back to 2015 Cam or even the first half of 2018 Cam. The only thing I would say about that, though, is it's been a while and he's had two major surgeries since then. I mean, throwing shoulder and foot for a guy who a big part of his game is he's the best runner, at least power runner, from the quarterback position we've ever seen. And the thing I keep pointing out to everybody that, you know, has the Patriots back, is contenders and all that stuff, don't you think if the Carolina Panthers, with a new head coach and Matt Rhule coming in there, don't you think if they thought Cam would be as good again as everybody out there is saying, don't you think they would have kept him this year for $18 million rather than outright releasing the face of the franchise? I mean, they didn't have any more guaranteed money after this year, Jim. None even this year. They had no obligation. Matt Rhule could have taken a one-year free roll with Cam, seen what he had. If it doesn't work out, maybe they draft Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence. Rhule got a six-year deal. They didn't want it. They didn't think Cam could do it. And even Ron Rivera in Washington, if he thought that Cam was going to come back with a vengeance, he would have been banging the table in Washington to say, hey, let's get Cam here. He's not getting very many offers. We can have him and Haskins and have another option in case Haskins isn't the guy. That also didn't happen, which makes me skeptical of what Cam's going to be able to do.
That's actually a really interesting response when you lay it out like that. So, Ross, for instance, if then you have this notion of fit, and aside from the culture and the Patriot way, schematically in terms of fit, do they try to adjust to what he does, or is he going to have to adjust to what they do schematically?
Yeah, no, they're going to adjust to what he does. That's actually one of the things Belichick loves to do. I mean, he literally switches the game plan, offense and defense, week to week. So I think he and McDaniels are probably looking forward to that. The question I have is, how much of that stuff do you put in early in camp and how much of it do you do? Because I don't think it's a lock that he beats out Jared Stidham. Now, if he's healthy, I'd be really surprised if he didn't. I think Cam's the guy. But Belichick never looks at things through only a one-year prism. He's always looking 2, 3, 4 years down the line. And if it's close, Jim, it's to his benefit to start Stidham. Stidham's younger, healthier, cheaper, all under contract, all of those things. So I think Cam has to clearly be better. And all these people saying they signed him for a reason, he's going to start, he's going to be. Think about all the guys that we forget about went to New England and their careers died. Reggie Wayne, Albert Haynesworth, Torrey Holt, John Lynch, Joey Galloway. I mean, people don't even remember that all these big name guys went there and were never heard from again. Now, maybe Cam becomes a Corey Dillon or a Randy Moss, but there's a lot more of these veterans that came in that didn't work out for the Patriots than ones that actually did have success.
It's another good point. It doesn't always work, and he's never tried it with a quarterback either. Ross Tucker is joining us. All right, Ross, you and I could talk about that for another hour. Let me move on to something else. If you were a player right now, Ross, and you're seeing COVID cases around the country spiking, what kind of thoughts and concerns would you have about COVID?
Well, certainly I would be talking to my doctor about my family history and my personal issues, whatever they might be, if I had any issues, you know, the diabetes, the asthma, the stuff they talk about. But I think what makes football players unique, and obviously this is how I feel like I would have thought if I was still playing or when I was in my 20s, I'd still be a lot more concerned, if I'm being honest, Jim, about CTE and about, you know, fracturing my neck and getting paralyzed or things like that, than I would be about a virus that doesn't seem to be that big of an issue for guys in their 20s that are in great shape. Now, I know people are listening, and there's going to be somebody saying, but Ross, your family. I get it. Like, I totally get it, which is why any player that opts out, I understand. Everybody can make that personal health decision. I just think, Jim, football players, unlike baseball players and the NBA guys, first of all, those guys play a lot longer and they have guaranteed contracts where they know even if they sit out a year, they'll get the money the next year, right? Football players, careers are shorter. The money is not guaranteed. And every time you walk inside those white lines, you're very cognizant of the risk that you're taking. You know what? Before a game, I would pray, Lord, please just don't. Like, I wouldn't pray to win or play good. I would just say, Lord, please don't let me suffer any injury that could negatively affect the rest of my life. That was my concern. And if I was playing now, that would still be my concern more than, please don't let me get this virus that could affect me. And it would be a concern, Jim. It would just be kind of further down the line as a football player.
Let me tell you something. That's a real response. And I get that, Ross. I totally understand that. And I'm here to say, to me, the virus is serious as hell. I mean, it is killing people, lots of people. Having said that, and I want to be very clear about that, I've always worried, or at least thought about the NFL. It's just a different culture. Guys who play in that league are wired in a different way, and they assume unbelievable risk every single time they go to work, every single time they step on the field. I'm not saying that COVID's not a very serious issue, because it is serious as hell, but NFL players are different in that regard. So you laid that out perfectly, I think. In terms of the workouts themselves, you know, the NFLPA, Ross has said, you need to socially distance. I mean, there's certain things you can do in a locker room or a team facility to create spacing, but is there any way to have a training camp with physical distancing?
Well, the thing that I think is interesting about that part of it is the only way to do that is if you're doing virtual meetings. But what I think is even more interesting, Jim, talking with some coaches about this, is the strategy. You know, let's just say you have all the quarterbacks in the same room and one quarterback gets it. Well, technically, I think everybody that was in the room and came into contact with them is supposed to quarantine for a while. So are you going to put all your quarterbacks in the same meeting room and take the chance that one guy gets it because at night after practice, he went home and his six-year-old got it in kindergarten that day? I mean, there's a lot, and I've had college coaches tell me the same stuff. There's legitimate strategy questions that these guys are going to have. It's interesting, though, when you talk with some of these doctors about viral load and how you actually get the virus, there's a lot more concern about guys in meeting rooms and in locker rooms for extended periods of time than there is on the floor, or in this case, on the field. I had a doctor pointed out that, you know, Rudy Gobert, the guy that was covering him that night, the whole game didn't get the coronavirus. Only one of his Utah Jazz teammates got the coronavirus. The guy Rudy was covering didn't get it. It's really about, you know, the droplets and breathing, you know, I'm no expert, but this is what I've been told over and over again. So it sounds to me like they're almost at a bigger threat when they're in the meeting rooms or the cafeteria or whatever they're doing than when they're actually out there on the field, because your engagement with the guy you're going against is for about 2.5 seconds. And in the NFL, it seems like it's a split second. It's how fast it is.
Ross Tucker is joining us. All right, Ross, changing up on you. You and Greg Cosell got into this on your podcast recently. People love to describe the NFL right now as a passing league. Is it really that, or are we starting to see successful teams that are about running the football first?
Well, it's so interesting because he pointed out a number of teams like the 49ers, like the Rams and others, the Cowboys, they're really based on the running game. And everything in the passing game comes off the running game. That's a big reason why Garoppolo had the year he had last year. Now, there are other teams that they're really chucking it around, and I think the Chiefs are a pretty good indication of them. But you look at the Ravens, you look at the, you know, the Niners, you look at some of the best teams in the NFL, they are based on the running game first, and everything they do in the passing game comes off of that, which, by the way, is I think one of the reasons why the Patriots wanted Cam Newton. I think that they feel like they can have him as a running threat and base the pass game off of it. The other thing that Greg Cosell told me that I didn't even realize, and this was on Friday's Ross Tucker podcast, do you know that there was more fullback usage last year than we had seen in like 5 or 6 years?
No, I did not.
So to your point about trends, you're seeing Juszczyk for the Niners. You're seeing how some of these fullbacks have become absolute weapons. Everything goes in cycles, right? And these guys on the edge, the DNs, the outside backers, the corners, the safeties, they have no idea how to fit the gaps when a fullback's coming to the perimeter. They have no idea how to take on the block of a fullback, because over the last 4 years, it's happened so infrequently that certain teams, think about the Patriots with Devlin before he just retired a couple years ago, and the Niners now, they are using fullbacks as absolute weapons. It's kind of, I mean, I'm a former offensive lineman. I had 1 year of glory as a fullback in seventh grade. I love fullbacks. They're kind of our brothers from another mother, so I love that fullbacks are coming back.
I think that's cool, too. Ross Tucker is joining us. Now, Ross, you are the brain behind hashtag Tuck Spreads. So I'm turning to you for a really serious issue right now, the issue of mustard. How do you rank your mustards, or maybe more specifically, how do you rank spicy mustard versus classic yellow?
I'm glad you brought this up, Jim, because what I'm about to say isn't really about just you or me. It's about America, Jim. It's about a way of life. And I want everyone listening online or driving in their cars, try to conjure up a situation in which yellow mustard is better than spicy mustard. I'll give you a hint. You can't. Because there is no... Think about it. Burgers, dogs, I don't care what we're talking about. Spicy mustard is always brats. Like, who puts yellow mustard on a brat? Let me just say this. If you came over to my house and you put yellow mustard on a brat, A, you can leave, and B, stop drinking my beer, put it down, and exit immediately. Spicy mustard is better in every way, in every scenario, and yet I'll go to like a Subway, Jim, and they'll only have one mustard, and it's regular yellow. At a Subway where they're giving out deli sandwiches and they don't have spicy deli mustard, and the guy says, oh, it's an inventory thing. Let me just tell you, if you can't afford to have a second mustard at your Subway, just shut it down. Just close it up. If a second mustard, spicy mustard for America, breaks the bank, you got to come up with a new business model.
God, that's so well said. What bullcrap that is. Are you kidding me? Like, you can't jam spicy mustard into one of those big plastic containers with that little pointed spout that you fill up with mayonnaise? That's such bullcrap. I don't buy that at all. I would never. To me, plain mustard's a reason to go. It really is. I'd add that to the list of reasons to go. Ross, preach. You're so right. I can't make a single argument for anything other than spicy mustard. In fact, I didn't even know I was so fired up about that until you brought that up like that.
Well, and how about this, Jim? How about this, too, okay? let's pretend like we are the owners of these Subway sandwich shops. I guess I'm not going to be getting a Subway sponsorship anytime soon. That's okay. I got enough. Anyway, you're only allowed to have one mustard. What is going through your skull when you decide that that one mustard is going to be yellow? These are deli sandwiches, hoagies, whatever, subs. I don't care what you call them. It's literally called spicy brown mustard, deli mustard. Like, it's literally designed to be on every sandwich that was ever created. And yet they make the conscious decision to go with regular yellow. I mean, it really, the industry itself needs a sea change, because for too long, we've allowed it to stand that yellow is like the default mustard. It's like somebody lame decided that 50 years ago, and we've all just gone along with it. I mean, what kind of people are, we're not men. I know that. We're not men.
I'll tell you what, we're not courageous either, man. Make a stand for spicy mustard. He is a former NFL player. He spent 7 years in the league. He is a content king, as you can see. He is the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL and appearing courtesy of My Front Page Story. Ross, you nailed it. Great job as always, Ross. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, Jim.
And I'm so glad we covered that at the end, too. Ross Tucker. Normally, I'm not one of those guys who gets all fired up about condiments, but he's right. I'm not even, and this isn't even a, like, Subway thing. Just give us a choice. Every sandwich chain, not just Subway. Just put another mustard out there. Let's get some reaction. Ross felt really strongly about that, and I'm on his side as well. Let's see. At Lake Effect Mafia, give Ross Tucker a golden ticket. He's got a lot on his plate, including spicy mustard. He doesn't need a golden ticket. He's good. But he could justify it. Believe me, he'd do fine. At Table Slam Family tweets, something tells me Garrett Ritt is a yellow mustard guy. Are you, old man? He's shaking it off like he's not. At Pauly T. Wall tweets, I'm team yellow mustard. Ross is way over his skis on this one. Ross Tucker, you can go to hell. It's a bad take, Pauly. The guy's never in over his skis, and believe me, if you want to have that conversation with him, hit him up. He'll have that conversation. You can tell how strongly he felt about that. Tyler in Oshkosh, war spicy mustard. All right, when we come back, I could turn that into a poll. I could jump the day on that. I could jump the week on that. Do what you want with that, but you know how he feels about it, and you know how I feel about it. Also, when we come back, I want to talk more about ODB shutting down speculation that he's on his way to the Patriots. And I've got an update on Jay Cutler looking for the real killers. Capital One knows that life does not alert you about your credit card. Hey, yo, couch surfers, we've got nonstop tunes to keep you rocking while you work. Oh, Colleen. Yes, you, Colleen with a K. Your free trial of Movie Plus ends tomorrow. Your card may be charged. Do you want to continue or do you want to cancel? Colleen, meet Eno, the Capital One assistant. Eno looks out for surprise charges, like when free trials do expire, and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way that Capital One is watching out for your money when you are not. Capital One, what is in your wallet? Limitations do apply.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Today at 12:30 Eastern, 9:30 Pacific, the best women's soccer players in the world get on the field as the Houston Dash take on the Utah Royals in the NWSL Challenge Cup. It is streamed live on CBS All Access. It is available on CBS Sports Network at midnight. All right, so let me open this thing up. My thanks to Ross Tucker, Dave Clawson. Keanu Neal is going to join me at 11:40 Pacific time. So another day, another Jay Cutler update. Got to be straight. This has become something of a labor of love for me. Like, I don't roll out of the rack thinking to myself, damn, I want off this train. I got to get off that treadmill. Man, I'm so sick of this story. It's not like that. In fact, it's the opposite of that. Because to me, watching a former NFL quarterback have conversations with himself and farm animals, all while trying to run down a serial chicken killer, is about as top-notch as it gets in terms of entertainment and content. And in case you haven't noticed, we are living in a nearly sports-free world. And if you had a futures ticket on Smokin' Jay Cutler being the content hero of 2020, then you're sitting on a massive payout right now. Because who in the hell would have ever thought that the most aloof, disinterested red ass ever would have the world's greatest Instagram feed right about now? Not me, not anyone. So why don't we pick up where we left off? Yesterday, I updated you on Cuddy's Weekend from Hell. Actually, check that. I'm giving hell way too much credit. Cuddy's Weekend was so much worse than eternal damnation. Because Cuddy got turned inside out and laughed at by a culprit that is just messing with him at this point. Just toying with him. Whatever is killing Cutler's chickens had itself a weekend. It evaded bait. It evaded trap cages. It evaded camera surveillance. It evaded anything remotely close to a capture. And it left behind murder feathers like a damn calling card. Cutler conceded that the enemy was in fact 3 to 4 steps ahead of him and vowed to get control of a situation that has now devolved into an all-out bloodbath. Now, before he got back at it, he knew he had to clear his head. So he took a ride on his Harley so he could get right mentally. As soon as we went off the air yesterday, Smokin' Jay posted a selfie in the saddle of his hog and he wrote, quote, "Little ride to clear my head and get ready for tonight. We are behind in the battle, but we haven't lost the war. Everyone loves a comeback. Tonight is the night." You know how that is, right? A setback is just means for a bigger comeback. I mean, if you're not fired up, then you ain't alive. If you're not fired up by that, you don't have a pulse. I like to imagine Cuddy revving that hog, slamming it into gear, and blasting Whitesnake for miles on end. Cuddy, right? Like a twister, I was born to walk alone. That's Cuddy. He is a drifter walking alone. Right? He's made up his mind. He's not going to waste any more of his time. Here he goes again. All right, so apparently Cuddy whipped that hog into town to a place called Binks Lodge. Because after he got back from the ride, he said this on IG Stories.
Talked to my buddy Ray at Binks Lodge. He told me peanut butter in the cage works every time. So that's what we're going with. But I also don't know if Ray knows what he's talking about. So I put chicken in there and a marshmallow and tuna. So it's like a smorgasbord, a buffet, if you will.
All right, remember that for later. Remember that part where he said that Ray at Binks Lodge may not know what he's talking about. Remember that Cutler just defied a guy named Ray at Binks. Because if there's anybody you do not want to second guess on a matter like this, I got to think it's a guy named Ray at Binks Lodge. But Cuddy did. Cuddy thought that he knew what he was doing. He disregarded the advice from Ray at Binks Lodge. This is going to be important in a few moments, but let's continue with the IG story.
So we'll see what happens. We also have 5 cameras, upgraded those. Feel good about the trap. It's my second day trapping. Not sure what the odds are. So we'll see. Obviously not that positive. A little tired, a little drained. I feel like this has been going on for months. I think it's been like 3 days. I have no idea. But hopefully get this guy tonight, you know? I think we will. We're going to, right? Yeah. Tonight's the night.
Are you telling me or are you asking me? Like, so the cameras are upgraded. The trap is set. Cuddy's bouncing back, though, isn't he? Between self-doubt and self-assurance. After that video, he posted a photo of the trap, which was camouflaged with leaves. No less an authority than Josh McCown commented, quote, "Now this thing looks inviting. Well done, my friend. The leaves sprinkled on the door are such a difference maker. Tonight's the night," end quote. And that was that. We all went to bed, hoping for the best outcome. Then morning comes, nothing from Cuddy. Still nothing. Hours go by, nothing. Then finally, at 6 a.m. Pacific, Cuddy drops a black and white photo of nothing. Well, not really nothing. He did manage to get half of an animal's ear in the photo. And the only thing more depressing than the photo was the caption. Quote, I'm being taunted, mocked, and outwitted by a small animal. It avoided the trap and all the other cameras. This is the only picture from last night. Only one option left. End quote. All right, so now this guy's at wit's end. Now the guy's desperate. The guy's unraveling. He's coming apart. And what the hell does he mean, only one option? What option? Like a nuclear option? What is this guy's one option? Is he about to plant bombs? Is he about to rig explosives? I mean, I'm genuinely concerned. The man's at his breaking point 6 days in. Now I'm worried, but I'm still interested. Let's go back to a second. Let's go back for a second to that piece of sound that I told you to remember. I said remember this part.
Talked to my buddy Ray at Binks Lodge. He told me peanut butter in the cage works every time. So that's what we're going with. But I also don't know if Ray knows what he's talking about. So I put chicken in there and a marshmallow and tuna. So it's like a smorgasbord buffet, if you will.
Damn, Cuddy. This is what you get for going rogue, right? This is what you get for not listening to Ray. If a guy named Ray from Binks Lodge is telling you how to bait a trap, man, you listen. You follow orders. You fall in line. You don't get cute. You don't act like you're smarter than him because you're not. You don't go throwing a damn tuna sando in the cage. I mean, for all we know, Cuddy made the anti-trap by going up against Ray at Binks. And now instead of doubling back to what Ray said, he's fast-forwarding to the only option left. Instead of going back and saying, damn, man, my man was probably right. Now you're fast-forwarding ahead to your only option. Here's your problem, Jay. You think you're smarter than Ray at Binks Lodge. Cuddy, you're not. You're not even smarter than whatever is grubbing on your chickens and making you look like a fool. So maybe you listen to Ray at Binks, eh, Cuddy? Either way, I'm still hooked. I'm hooked as I've ever been. Cuddy is getting worked, and he's about to explode. And maybe even literally. We'll see. Just know this. I'll have the update tomorrow. Could this be the final chapter? We'll find out tonight. The only person more into this than me is Hawk. And Hawk has inserted himself into the story. Well, not so much inserted himself into the story. Go ahead, put him on. But he logged a telephone call. I've instructed Ritt to find Jay Cutler. That's not going very well. But Hawk took matters into his own hands. What did you do, Adam?
I found Ray at Binks Lodge. I called him this morning. He just called me back during the commercial break. I said, Ray, I've got a few questions for you. Here's who I am. I'd like to ask you some things about what Jay Cutler did to that trap cage.
What did he think when somebody representing me, namely you, called him to talk about this? Was that just normal to him, or was he like, damn?
Binks Lodge, because I talked to another person there, thinks it's fascinating that we're covering this story. They also think it's pretty cool that Jay Cutler's coming in to get advice on how to trap a chicken killer. So I wanted to know from Ray, do you think that Jay going against your advice may have scared the animal away or deterred it from coming into the cage? You said just to use peanut butter. He used peanut butter, tuna, chicken, and a marshmallow. Could the scents from those other foods have thrown off the animal? Do you think him defying you actually deterred that animal? And he said, yes, that's very, very possible. I only use peanut butter only, and it works for me every single time. This was Ray to me 10 minutes ago. And then I asked
Ray. Was he put off that Jay Cutler thought he was better than him?
I don't think he was put off, but I think that he was not surprised by Jay not getting a result because Jay did not do what Ray at Binks Lodge said. So then I asked Ray, do you have a guess on what this animal is? And Ray is certain that it's a raccoon. And based on the picture that Cutler posted this morning of just the ear, and I don't know if Ray has seen that or not, Ray, I think, has the animal pegged. It looks like it's possibly a raccoon based on that blurry photo. And if Ray says it and Ray knows how to bait and Ray works at Binks Lodge, I'm going with Ray.
Why does he not just bring Ray onto the team, bring him into the fold, let him come over and rig that trap himself?
Based on Cuddy's arc in this story, bringing his neighbor Matt into it, bringing an alpha male rooster Blue into it, I think we're very close to Jay Cutler bringing in Ray from Binks Lodge.
If he wants to finish this thing, he will.
I'm very interested in what this final option is. Like you said, it sounds nuclear. It sounds like it could potentially be devastating. So I'm just as glued to the phone as you are right now.
I mean, what could that be? If you had to guess, I mean, is that Cuddy showing up with a shotgun and spending the night waiting?
It could be.
What's the final option?
It could be. It could be a Caddyshack situation. We will see. It sounds like explosives might be put out in the backyard.
Sounds like we're all being taken for a big-ass ride is what it sounds like. Sounds like one of the major troll jobs of all times.
I still believe that Cuddy is being very genuine with these posts. I think he's just getting his ass worked, and he needs to rally and figure it out. He also needs some more patience. We're only 6 days into it, and he's talking about the final option.
Dude, if he can't beat a critter on his property, how did he read NFL defenses all that time?
One might argue that he wasn't that successful at reading NFL defenses. I'm no football expert, but he threw quite a few interceptions.
Now, you are not a football expert, dude. You're not an expert relating to anything that has anything to do with sports, right?
I will say, no, I'm not at all. I will say this. I do like this Jay Cutler Instagram show a lot more than the old show he was doing with his ex-wife. This is far more entertaining.
Oh, agreed. No doubt. All right, Adam, thank you very much. Thanks for inserting yourself into the story. And by the way, I did not instruct Hawk to do that. He just took that upon himself. Oh, I'm going to find Ray. Well, I'll talk to Ray. Why don't you call the owner of the general store, too, and see what's up? Or call the bait shop. Hawk's all about this life. All right, when we come back, I mean, if you want to weigh in, what do you think it is? Is it a raccoon? Is it a possum? Is it a human being? What's going on here? And what's Cuddy's endgame? When we return, Johnny Manziel thinks that he's probably finished with football. Do you think, John? That's coming up. And more. Keanu Neal next hour. First up, here is your sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We are in the midst of a pandemic, and every phone line is lit. Every phone line is lit. I like that.
It's lit.
Welcome back. Some reaction. Nate in Appleton. Cuddy is a national treasure. This guy went from a Sig meme, divorcing XQB, to hunting down chicken killers, and I am here for it. And Mailman Casey tweets, Jim, Cuddy is going to become the trap. He's going to lay out there with a plethora of food on himself, like a human buffet table, with a GoPro on his head, and capture this beast with his bare hands. I hope. It's not a bad idea, actually. He should be the bait and the trap. At Jungle Dweller 94 tweets, it's probably Cuddy's ex continuing to take every bleeping thing the guy has. That's one of the theories. At 512 Lumber tweets, maybe Jay Cutler could try using spicy mustard as trap bait. No, man, he's trying to trap an animal, not Ross Tucker. He goes on, or maybe Jay does what Ray at Binks Lodge says, peanut butter. At Clone Bones Jones tweets, Cuddy is getting worked. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, nice job by Hawk to get to the bottom of this. Might need to add Hawk to the team with Ray, neighbor Mark, and old Blue. I've heard worse ideas. At Jungle Dweller 94 tweets, time to call Carl Spackler. At Haunted 00 Horse tweets, you can't use the final option until you have your final countdown, signed Asia.
It's the final countdown.
Hey, Horace, does that sound like Asia? That sounds nothing like Asia. And you know why that is? Haunted Horse, it's not Asia. It's Europe. Oh, but so close. When you hear that, you know exactly who that is. Heat of the moment, you bump that, you know exactly who that is. That's Asia. either like the cheesiest or greatest song ever or both. It's both. You can't tell me that's not an awesome song. I'll put myself right out there and I'll stand behind it. I'll say it. That's an awesome song. Cheesy as hell, but it's awesome. He's like, you can't use the final option until you have your final countdown signed Asia. Oh, so close, bro. You mean Europe? Wrong continent, bro. At least you got it within the right planet. At least you didn't say Mars. Signed. You can't use the final option until you have your final countdown signed Antarctica. Hey, Rome. Check this out. You can't have the final option until you have your final countdown. Best regards, Australia. Come on, horse. Asia? Signed Asia. That's bad. Man, again, do better. Tighten up your game. You can't come with something that lame and jack it up that badly. 1-800-636-8686. What I still want to get into is Johnny Football. Johnny Football is living the life of luxury and saying, yeah, you know, probably, he did an interview and said, probably my football life is over. Probably. Meanwhile, he's playing golf 6 times a week. I've got that for you. The Patriots, to me, are skating today because they skated yesterday because they made the announcement that they had signed Cam Newton. That drowned out the other announcement that the league informed them that there's a price to be paid for cheating again. But because the Cam Newton announcement was so big, and this is why that coinkydink worked in their favor, I didn't get to it yesterday. And now I'm all caught up in other stuff, and I'm not getting to it today. And they're getting over because I'm not getting to the fact that they still cheat. And they do still cheat. Otherwise, the league would not have hammered them with a 7-figure fine and a 3rd-round draft pick. Let's go to Appleton. Big day for Appleton. Troy. What's up, Troy? How are you?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Good. Great.
Hey, as fate would have it, obviously listening to your show, I had some pest control guys at my house this morning because a family of raccoons has taken up residence in my backyard.
Mm.
And they baited the trap with peanut butter.
Oh, they did. They used peanut butter.
Yep. Yep.
So are you waiting right now or do you already have an outcome? Did it work?
I don't know. I'm at work now, so I haven't gotten an update, but they're hoping to trap them and relocate them. So we'll see how it goes.
There you go. Good luck with that. I know what you're talking about. Thanks, Troy. We had one raccoon at my house in Cali, and that was enough of a concern. Man, they're mean now. You don't want to mess with raccoons. They're mean. He said he's got a whole family in his backyard. But the big takeaway from Troy and Appleton is when they came to relocate that family, they were going to relocate that family by using peanut butter. Cuddy. So it's not just Ray. I mean, Ray's right, and you should have known that if a guy named Ray from Binks Lodge is saying it, it must be so. But that's somebody now in Appleton saying that pest control came, and they're going to relocate that family of raccoons by using peanut butter. Creamy or chunky? Or does it not matter? Let's not get into that again. I feel pretty strongly about that. I feel more strongly about that debate than I do yellow mustard versus spicy mustard. Let's go back to this guy. Remember this guy? Remember how hard this guy tried to get into the smack off? Tried so hard for that golden ticket. Came up short. But, man, he's a high-volume guy. He's going to shoot his shot. He's coming back for more. Let's go to Toronto. You all remember Sonny in Toronto? Hey, Sonny, how are you? Sonny.
Hey, Jim. Thank you for taking my call. And I have to thank you for not giving me that golden ticket. You were right. I wasn't ready. The field was deep. I would have got chopped up and embarrassed, maybe. I doubt it. But I doubt it. Either way, Jim, you're looking out for me like a father looking out for his sons. I appreciate you, man. And happy belated Father's Day, Dad. I mean, Jim, adopt me. What? Never mind. In regards to the Patriots, yeah, Tom Brady's a very good quarterback. But Bill Belichick made him a very great quarterback. Tom was coached up. I mean, that's what Hoodie does. I mean, do we really think Brady would have won multiple Super Bowls with another coach? Maybe, but I doubt it. Look, Brady and Belichick just had a beautiful relationship. They gelled. They clicked. Kind of like with your show, Jim. Now, I don't know if your EP was selected 199th overall after his interview, but really, who's Tom Brady without Bill? And who's Adam Hawk without you? Either way, it's perfection. It's Hall of Fame. And about the smack-off, now, I don't want to be that guy, but it was brought to my attention. Mike in Indy, really? He just didn't make one bad phone call that day, but he made two. When he called the Astro show and made excuses for like 20 minutes how he wasn't even going to call in that day and blah, blah, blah. Really, brah? But it gets better, Dad. I mean, Jim. The eve of smack-off, Mike in Indy had the audacity to publicly tweet my bestie, Taylor Stevens, and ask her for good luck nude photos. Mike, Taylor and Michael Jordan could have been there rubbing your forehead for good luck, and that still wouldn't have helped you. Mike and Indy, like you paid for those horrendous sound bites and your Twitter followers, you need to pay for the nudes, Mikey and Lex. So I went ahead and booked the procedure, but everything is backed up because of COVID. And so I'm going to do it myself. So forget about ripping beards off people's faces and making them eat it. Mike and Indy, I'm going to rip this excess skin off and make you eat it.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Sonny, I think you're done for a little while. And by a little while, I think I mean forever. That should just about wrap that up, Sonny. When we return for the third hour, I'm sure there'll be some reaction to that. I have no further reaction.